we talk about how New Zealand areas and every year have you enjoyed every.
I feel like you can't call it an NRL magic round without magicians.
How would that translate in the hard-hitting world of rugby league?
I think they'd be good with the sleight of hand, the deft passes.
Maybe the dummy?
Yeah, but when it comes to putting their body on the line, I think they'd probably get really seriously injured. We need to do something about the amount of time it takes a sin bin player to exit the field. What about any player getting sin bin for the Titans? We say, if you get off in the next 10 seconds,
we'll sign you up to another team.
Well, hello, listeners, and welcome to the latest episode of The Voluntary Tackle, the only NRL podcast prepared to record a special live show in Israel Folau's version of hell. Sounds like all the best people are there. Today on the show, we'll investigate all of the most fascinating stories seeping their way out of the world of rugby league faster than a weeping smallpox on the arse of Anthony Mundine. But first, some housekeeping. My old mate Chip Jones is lamentably not here this week. He was last seen hopping into a red pickup truck with a gruff bearded fellow called Ivan, who offered to take him pig shooting in the outback somewhere. I sure hope he's okay. He didn't seem all that safe to be around, to be honest. So if you are listening, Ivan, I hope you're okay, mate. And don't let Chip hold all of those shotties. Never be unarmed around him, is what I've learned. But before we get stuck into the show, we need to go for a quick commercial break. Feel like rugby league needs more of an immoral TV twist? Do you feel games are now too law-abiding since Billy Slater retired? Then you need to watch Recruited at First Sight, a world-first TV concept fusing together the two wonderful domains of NRL recruitment with the soul-destroying phenomenon that is reality TV. The show aggressively recruits the first person they see when the clock strikes 11 a.m. throwing them into the front row for a first-grade rugby league team. But don't just take my word for it. Here's a sneak peek of Recruited at First Sight forcibly obtaining 78-year-old Brisbane florist Alice to play against the Warriors last round. Excuse me. We're from Recruited at First Sight. Is your name Alice? Yeah. You're actually going to be playing against the Warriors this week. The Warriors, the New Zealand Warriors? Yeah, they're a rugby league team. Yeah, you are. Yeah, resistance is futile, I'm afraid. So if you'd like to come with me, there's no use struggling. Matty, get her in a headlock, mate. I'll grab her wrinkly legs. Toby, you don't just stand there like a lemon. Grab the fucking handcuffs.
And the Warriors kick off and are underway. The Titans catch the ball through Cartwright. He hands the ball off to Alice Sainsbury. And she gets absolutely hammered there on the 10. Well, what a hit there from Leeson Armour.
Yeah, that was some hit, and it looks as though Alice is still not moving out there, gents. A few parts of her are, though. I can still see a bit of her hip rolling away past the dead ball line. Now, there's been a fair bit of talk this week of doing away with the golden point concept. The critics say the game's just turned into a snapshot shootout. Both teams played hard. No team deserves to go home empty-handed. Look, there's probably a little bit of merit to that. Nobody enjoys seeing the likes of Corey Norman or Nathan Cleary do well. Believe me, I'm the first person to tell you that's an absolute tragedy. So in response, we've seen some people saying, well, okay then, let's make it golden try. And then people say to them, yeah, well, if you haven't scored in the first 80 minutes, then why would you score in the next 10 minutes? And the first thing I'd say to that is, well, you're fucking hard to please, cunt. But okay, we'll work with your fucking bitching. So the voluntary tackle has come up with a proposal. We call the concept the golden penalty try. So it's the first team who can get their own props to score a try and commit a penalty simultaneously. And for those who are not up with the concept of innovation and are still struggling with the idea, we'll give you an example. It's Daniel Alvaro. He gets the ball. It's the 85th minute. He waltzes through a gap. It's probably Cody Nikorima's fault. But he can't just score, he must commit some kind of felony as he places the ball down at the same time. Now that could mean elbowing Darius Boyd in the temple. It could mean flopping his cock out and wiping it relentlessly on an upright. It could mean pulling a taser out of your shorts and mercilessly shocking the groin area of Matthew Lodge. It doesn't really matter so long as the two acts are carried out simultaneously and the other player doesn't enjoy it. So in that case, actually, don't do the Matthew Lodge thing, because he'd fucking froth on groin shocking. Now, here's this week's secret sound. I'm really sorry. He's not going to pull through. I'll just give you all a couple of extra seconds for those playing at home. And a big congratulations to those who successfully identified the sound of Anthony Mundine passing away after contracting polio in Scotland. Now, with the late great Tommy Turbo snapping the top half of his leg for the second time in 7 minutes, there is suddenly a hole open on the wing for the New South Wales State of Origin team. And people are talking up Blake Ferguson's chances of filling that hole. Now, granted, Blake has shown great skill at being able to fill holes. Sometimes a little too well and without consent, frankly. But I say, you know what? Let's give Chemo a chance. But the voluntary tackle has come up with 5 strict key conditions that Blake Ferguson must adhere to. Otherwise, he's back in Church Street faster than you can say Fergo brain snap. Fergo brain snap. Brain snap. Fuck that. Here's the 5 reasons with the voluntary tackle's roving reporter, some hipster person. Number 5. Fergo must, under like no circumstances, be allowed to contact Josh Dugan and, ideally, have Dugan killed. Like in an eco way. Like a perpendicular coffin or something. Number 4. Fergo's not allowed to have any of those moments, like the one where, you know, he looks at the ball for some reason and he doesn't care anymore. And the ball just sits there, like in the in-goal area. And he's just looking at it, and then for no reason, he just kicks it cross field. He's not allowed to do that anymore. Number 3. Fergo is not allowed to call himself the big dog or refer to himself in the third person at all. It's disrespectful to the other players, and if anything, he's only like 4/5 of a person because he's like 1/5 dickhead. Number 2. Fergo must remember the New South Wales Blues is a team that represents New South Wales. And not Fergo's fucking mantelpiece of achievement. Fergo also needs to learn where New South Wales is, because the last time he pointed to it on the map, he pointed out to the southern border of Wales in Europe. Number 1. Fergo needs to like pick up a phone where he gets free Wi-Fi from and call Brad Fittler and apologise. But not like a normal apology, he should have to convey the message through a team of llamas that then chant at Brad Fittler's balcony or something. Yeah, that'll mean a lot to Freddie. Welcome back to the Voluntary Tackle. Now, the Melbourne Storm very nearly got their pants pulled down last week by the Canterbury Bulldogs. And for those watching, they may have noticed the game ended with some major controversy. A late tryout wide to Remus Smith gifted the struggling Bulldogs a chance to level up the game with only a minute to play. But what some didn't notice was that Canterbury's goal kicker Reece Martin was forced to kick the ball much wider than was required, causing some to believe it contributed to his ensuing miss. Now, what most NRL fans didn't realise was that Cameron Smith might have played a hand in it. And it is the voluntary tackle, ladies and gentlemen, who managed to obtain this exclusive piece of leaked audio from the ground.
Hold on, Reece. Hold on. Yep, hold.
What is it? What is it, Cam? You think it was wider? Okay, yep.
Okay, Reece, a few metres wider, mate. Yep, just go 3 or 4 metres wider. Yep, thanks, mate.
What's that? What's that, Cameron? You want him wider? You want him wider than that? Well, he's on the sideline, mate. I don't know if it's. Yeah, okay.
Reece, sorry, stop. Reece, go wider. Yep, wider, much wider. Row K. About 3 from the front. Yep, that's good, mate. That's good.
Cameron, don't approach me again, mate. That's enough. I don't need... What? Well, I'm not sure if that's allowed, mate. I'm really not sure if that's... Okay. Yeah, all right. Okay.
Reece! Take your boots off. Your boots. And put some flippers on so that you can only hit the ball with your penis. Thank you.
Now, last night's game between the Cowboys and the Storm saw Cameron Smith take the mantle as the player who has scored the most points in NRL history. It was a penalty goal that Smith had demanded from the referees that was always going to be the way the milestone would be notched up. He overtook Hazem El Masri, who now falls into second place, so a big congrats to the man affectionately referred to in rugby league circles as King Grubb. But what the coverage didn't tell you last night was that Smith also broke three other records on the night, and it's only the voluntary tackle that has the exclusive data to pass on to our 9 loyal listeners.
Hi everyone, I'm a data storyteller.
In addition to becoming the NRL's leading point scorer, Smith also became the first person to successfully secure and conceal the mouthguards of 1,000 NRL players on the field. After the match, Cameron graciously said he's going to be donating his vast collection of stolen mouthguards to a charity of his choosing, which in this case was the Sandor Earl House of No Steps. Another record notched up on the night was his 17,000th referee manipulation. Now, this is judged to have taken place when Smith successfully lobbies a referee to change his mind to benefit the Storm in the face of overwhelming evidence. Last night, for example, it was when Smith managed to argue that having to be onside infringed on his team's human rights under international law. There was that one last year when he infamously brokered a deal with the NRL to have the in-goal area lengthened to 45 metres whenever the Storm were attacking in the red zone. So he's been doing it for a long time, and I for one think Smith should be congratulated for his lifelong efforts here, and I'd also like to big him up live on the show for securing his post-NRL career as a lobbyist for American Tobacco. And one that shouldn't be forgotten actually was another record broken last night, which was the 25th time in the last 12 months that he has astutely pulled at the heartstrings of the rugby league public by shamelessly bringing his kids onto the field. Amazing PR campaign, Cam. And actually, I have some of the data here. It says that you've endeared yourself to the hearts of 7% more people on the back of that public relations push, bringing your total NRL warmth to a level of 8%. We'll be back after this. Forget dance festivals and the incessant need to smash your face with ease to enjoy house music. Kids, you need to come on down to the very first Israel Folau Hell Party. The only rave whose entry criteria is directly based on who Izzy thinks is going directly to hell. All of society's legends will be there, including gay people, guys who love to get on the piss, non-militant atheists, people who love to tell exaggerated anecdotes, not to mention people who love to fornicate. But perhaps the biggest selling point is who will be banned from this one-off lifetime shindig. We guarantee no religious zealots, bigots, non-alcoholics, and probably most importantly, no Israel Folau. So come on down to the Let's Get Shit-Faced Without Izzy dance party this Saturday. Tickets are only $10 each, and this very unholy event will take place in Izzy's backyard, just to give him the shits. But there's no need to hurry, because tickets are unlimited. Now it's time for Eamon's Weird News Facts. Now this is literally a segment I've created right now because I've taken a look at the minutes on the running and I realise I'm quite well short of the typical 30 minutes that the voluntary tackle runs for. So here's me just going for a few articles I'm reading literally right now on news.com. What is making news today? Darryl Lee. There you go. Darryl Lee is out of financial strife, folks. It says here they've unveiled many new products in the run-up to Easter. Spokesman for the company said the business is booming. Chocolate Bullets are the flagship product. There you go. Company says it manufactures 1 billion bullets a year. Is it me or does that not seem like that many? I think I eat about 1 billion a year. Another story. Stand-up comedian Ian Cognito has passed away after reportedly suffering a heart attack on stage last night. Jesus Christ, that's not very funny. You know what the worst part about that would be the audience thinking that's part of the performance art. I could just have a horrible image of paramedics turning up and they just get cheered on. And there'd just be lots of laughing for all of the defibrillations. That's a horrible image. What's next? Israel. Israel have failed in their first private attempt to land a spacecraft on the moon. Apparently the craft crashed while taking a selfie Well, that's fucking typical. I hope they cop the fine for that as well. It's dangerous driving. You know, this sounds really sick, but I hope the next time that Israel do it, they actually land it successfully, only for a Hamas astronaut to come up and start throwing rocks at it.
Ali Akbar.
That's really sick. I'll edit that out if I have time. See if there's any other stories. Well, actually, this isn't a story, but there is a fucking Telstra ad on here. And you know the one where, you know, they're in a pub and the power goes out and then some idiot pulls out his smartphone and thinks, well, this is just as good. And suddenly the whole pub's happy. It's like, well, it's not just as good. It's a really small screen and there's no lights on now and everyone's looking over your shoulder. As well as that, it's like, if you're at the back, like if you're at the back of that, you're not going to fucking see anything. Plus the power's out, you're not going to be able to pour drinks. You couldn't take a piss properly because you'd be in the dark. You think you're pissing at a urinal, turns out to be some fuckstick's mouth. Have your very own Harvey Weinstein moment. Yeah, I think I'll just stop wasting everyone's time now. That's about it for this week. So until next time, just do what Julian Assange would do and look like an anemic elf wizard as you're forcefully evicted from an embassy for wiping your poo on the curtains. Bye for now.